Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. Well, welcome once again to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show here on BBS Radio. And tonight, I would just like to talk to a few of you about what's going on in the world and give you an idea on where to start doing some of your own research, because I get so many people asking me, where do you find these people that you interview and how do you get this information and what books do you read? So I'd just like to tell you a few things tonight and just open up a few doors for you and let you get to know me a little bit better too. I'm Rahasia Uncensored, and you're going to be with me for the next 50-55 minutes. You know, there's so much that we can talk about, and everything from the pharmaceutical companies that never get mentioned, by the way, in the school shootings. They never mention, think about this, they never mention the fact that almost every single one of these kids that goes onto the schoolyard and shoots people are either on pharmaceutical drugs or are coming off of pharmaceutical drugs. That fact alone should tell the most skeptical of us that something's going on to protect these big corporations. And then you look at the chemtrails and the geoengineering. Dane Wigington is a really good friend of mine, and I tell you, when you start really looking at this and wondering what's going on, there has to be a conspiracy. And I know people hate that word, because conspiracy theory was actually a phrase that the CIA came up with years back, and they've done a great job at marginalizing and putting everything in the fringe. I mean, you can talk about some really heavily validated conspiracies, and they throw you in this pile with Bigfoot. And sometimes I don't know what to do except do what I'm doing right now. Keep on talking to people, getting people to wake up to the world around them, take action, show up. Because if you knew exactly what I know, not what I believe, if you knew what I know because of the magazine that I publish and this radio show, and I'm in a position where I can do a lot of research, I can do a lot of interviews with ex-CIA people, people like David Icke, people like Kevin Shipp, all of these people, if you get them on the side and ask them what's really going on that they can't tell people, you would be amazed. I mean, no matter how disturbing their public message is, you would be amazed what their private message is. And once you start realizing this and it really hits you, like, there's different levels to realizing the truth of the world we live in. Way different levels. I mean, for a long time, I believed that there was a conspiracy with the government and extraterrestrials. I really believed it based on a lot of validated information. But over the years, a few triggers and few pieces of information have hit me and taken this to a whole nother level. And I really realize it's true now. But looking back, I just sort of believed it was true because it had a lot of evidence. But once you see it for your own eyes and it really clicks in your mind, you go, oh my God, you know, this really is true. There's people being abducted for many, many, many years. You know, I'll tell you a little story, which I can tell you because it was told to me in confidence, but you don't know this lady. I've known this lady for probably 10 years. And we've had some private discussions, but nothing too personal or anything. And I was at an event here a while back, and she was talking to me about our magazine, The Lotus Guide. And she said, you know, it's really, really nice what I hear you doing and see you doing. And I have to tell you something about The Lotus Guide. And she told me this little story about her and her friends would get around. It's like a book reading club, and they use the magazine and they read our articles. I have Rahasia Uncensored column in the magazine. And you can check out that magazine online too, by the way, at www.lotusguide.com. And she said to me, she looked at me in the eyes and real serious like, she said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that's really personal. And I've had these stories before. I knew I was getting ready to hear some kind of a story. But she told me that many, many years ago, she's probably 75 right now, many years ago, she was starting to be abducted. Her mother was being abducted before her, a matter of fact. And she was being abducted, taking on board a spacecraft. And a lot of the abductions weren't totally conscious. She says it mixes in with like a dream state. Excuse me. And then she looks at me and she says, but here's what happened. She said, a few years ago, I was abducted, taken on board, and they took some of my eggs and then returned me. Then 5 or 6 years later, they picked me up again and brought me on board and brought up this little girl to me. She had long red hair and spindly arms and legs, and she looked so weird, you know, but she was a hybrid. And I knew she was part of me. I knew that my DNA was in her, but it repulsed me so much that I rejected her. And I remember the look on her face, and the beings that was there that brought her up to me were, well, they were just let down. They were sad that I didn't embrace her, because they wanted me to hold her and walk with her and be with her and give her some human interaction, but I couldn't do it. And she says, to this day, I feel really bad about that, because this was a being that was brought into this universe, and I was part of this. You know, I was part of her, and I should have helped her in some kind of a way. I mean, I am her mother, right? Well, I tell you, you hear stories like this. I can tell you another story too. When I was doing a lot of interviews with some of the ancient alien researchers and some old timer ancient alien researchers too, people that's been in it for years, I got in touch with a friend of mine that he's part of a group that actually meets with about 12 to 14 people that have ongoing communications and interactions with advanced beings. I haven't been able to validate that, but I think it's true. You know, I believe it's true. I don't know it's true. But I told him once I was going to write an article for our magazine about the reptilian interaction with our government here in the United States. And he says, no, 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 no. Don't do that. He says, I've known so many people that have done this, and when they do, their whole world gets turned upside down. You can write about the government, you can write about conspiracies, you can write about reptilians, you can write about UFOs, you can write about anything you want to write, but don't write about that connection. Because if you do, your world is going to get turned up. Your world will not even be the same. And he was so strong with that I obviously decided not to. But as time goes on, I'm thinking, you know, we have to start talking. We have to start pulling back this curtain and not being afraid of what we're going to see. I mean, there's people losing their lives over this stuff for many, many, many years. And I think we need to start pulling back the curtain and asking, what in the hell is really going on here? I mean, if you're like me, and I'm just a normal guy out here, the only thing that sets me apart a little bit is I've figured out a way to make money and be at home and actually make money by doing research for my magazine and this radio show. Like right now, I have so many interviews stacked up, you know, Greg Braden and all these people that wants to come on the radio show and talk and tell their certain perspective of this reality. But I just had to take out this time for you and I, just to sit down and think about this, because there's so much going on. Scientists are starting to step up. And, you know, the thing with the medical marijuana, if you ever get a chance to watch Sacred Plant, go to YouTube, pull up Sacred Plant and start watching that. I've been watching, it's a series of 7 documentaries. And when you start realizing, and this is another thing too, this is what I mean, when things really click and you realize, oh my God, this is really true. When you realize it's really true that medical marijuana can actually cure and heal cancer and dementia and Alzheimer's and all kinds of things. They're having tremendous results all over the place, and everybody's starting to speak up. It hit me. Okay, this is why the powers that be are so against this, because this one thing, this alone, could bring down the pharmaceutical industry. Now you watch what's going to happen. I'm going to go ahead and put this on record, because later on I can say, yep, I tried to tell you. You watch what's going to happen. The pharmaceutical industry is going to isolate these molecules. They're going to synthesize them and start putting them out in little pills that will be really super expensive, but they're going to miss the whole point, which they've missed from the very beginning. You can't isolate some of these things in nature from everything that's around them. They're companion molecules. This is what makes things work. And people will fall into it, though. And Philip Morris, naturally, they're getting into the game. They're going to have hundreds of acres of nothing but greenhouses. And it'll be totally controlled at some point. Yeah, they're going to let a few of us grow our little pot plants, and mom and pop's going to get to grow some. And you watch, though. You watch and see what's going to happen. They'll lock it down and make it totally illegal for anybody in the public, unless you have this outrageous license, which they will really do research on you and charge you like crazy to have that license. Most of the licenses are going to go to big corporations, and you're going to start seeing products in Walmart and Costco. It's all going to be packaged by Philip Morris, and it'll be all controlled. This is what happens every time. The only thing that can stop this is if we start talking about it right now and see what we can do to stop this before it gets started. You know, what else can we talk about? We can talk about all the crazy shootings that are going on. You know, let's face it, these shootings, most of them, well, I shouldn't say most, a good percentage of them are staged. I mean, you start looking into Sandy Hook and the Las Vegas shooting. Okay, it might not be totally staged, but why are they lying so much? Why are there people in these groups of people that show up in shooting after shooting after shootings? Why are they hiring actors to walk through these groups and give testimonies to what's going on? This doesn't make sense. I mean, they're covering something up. For sure, something happened. There has to be some truth in it, surely. I mean, I'm imagining there has to be some truth, but maybe not, you know. And we look at 9/11. How many of you believe the original story of 9/11 now? You know, it's ridiculous. I guess it's even more ridiculous that we let it go on and on and on. You know, when I was in high school, I remember it around 11 o'clock Pacific time, it came on our intercom that the president was dead. He'd been shot. I remember exactly where I was. I think most people do that were alive then. But look at that and think about that. He was shot on TV. We know he was not just shot from behind. We see the impact of the bullet coming from the front. And they lied to us. And we have all of this evidence that it had everything to do with Bush, the CIA, the mob, and who knows what else. And it all boils down to protecting themselves from information, because what was Kennedy going to do? He was going to disband the CIA. He was going to release a lot of the UFO information to the public. And supposedly he told Marilyn Monroe about this. There's a documentary out about Marilyn Monroe and why she really was killed. They know now that she was actually murdered. She was overdosed with a suppository, which sounds gross and everything else, but nobody knew about this then. But they held her down and overdosed her, because she was also telling Bobby Kennedy and a few of her close friends on the phone that she was going to spill the beans on the UFO information that Jack Kennedy had been telling her. I mean, is this true or not true? Is the information false or not false? I have no idea, but these people are getting killed that are talking about speaking up. And if we can put enough light on this, we could at least slow it down. But why is it that the American public let a president that was a good president get shot right in front of us and just let it happen? And the years just keep on rolling by. And we've been in one war after another war with under false premises, and we know it. I mean, it's time we wake up, because if we don't wake up and put a stop to this, it's not going to stop. And it's getting worse and worse. It's getting more and more controlled. That's the reason I feel compelled to do this little radio show and talk about things like this and get people to talk. Because the whistleblowers that are out there, personally, I think Julian Assange and Snowden, people like this, they're going to be our heroes. You know, in the past, the whistleblowers that came out that were supposed to be the dangerous people on the planet have ended up being heroes. And it's always way, way down the line when all the people involved are either dead, passed away, or just out of the public view. But right now, we could do something, and we need to protect our whistleblowers, because they're out there doing their best. They're giving up their whole careers, like William Thompson, you know, from the CDC. He's giving up his whole career to talk about what went on with the CDC and how they skewed the research on vaccinations. And vaccinations, that's a tough one. Every time I bring it up, especially in the magazine, I get all kinds of emails from angry moms that, you know, I don't care about kids, and they don't really realize what's really going on. You know, when I got my vaccination for smallpox, it was a vaccination for smallpox, but it didn't have insect DNA, and it didn't have mercury and aluminum and any number of other unknown molecules that have nothing to do with the vaccinations that they're giving kids to today. And, you know, how many kids have died of measles vaccinations? Well, how many kids have died of measles? None. You know, it's ridiculous. So here we are today, and we're facing a brave new world, whether we like it or not. So I hope you keep listening to this show, by the way, because I'm going to have some really good interviews coming up. And I think I'm just going to play a quick thing for you here and let you decide on what this person is saying. And then we'll come back and I'll start again.
How many times have people told you that the media being owned by a select few isn't a problem? That these corporations and the bankers that fund them would never propagandize the people for their own interests, and certainly wouldn't endanger lives, that false flags aren't real, and that they would involve way too many people, that a secret that big could never be kept quiet. Media manipulation by bankers with money interests and governments beholden to those bankers is not the exception, it's the rule. There are countless verified examples that government schools conveniently leave out of the history books, and banker-funded media conglomerates are the last people that are going to give you a peek behind the curtain they've woven to protect themselves from the retribution they would surely face if the public were to discover just how little their lives mattered. One of the most well-documented examples of how war profiteers operate that parallels exactly with how these war profiteers operate today is the sinking of the Lusitania, an event that would claim the lives of nearly 2,000 people, including 195 Americans, and would be the false flag to get the American public behind a war that would later claim the lives of over 100,000 Americans. A war that up until this false flag planned by the elites, including J.P. Morgan and his Rothschild backers, and the Wilson administration, was only supported by 1 out of 10 Americans. And the motivations are the same as they've always been: money and power. In the early 1900s, J.P. Morgan, the American agent of the Rothschilds, sold war bonds in America to fund the English and the French in their war with Germany. Not only did they profit through handsome commissions from these bonds, the money raised was then spent at the companies owned by Morgan and the Rothschilds. War was big money. Total purchases would rise to an astronomical $3 billion, which in today's money would be roughly $74 billion. Morgan's firm became the largest purchaser on Earth. And when German U-boats appeared to be turning the tide against England, they faced a very real possibility that this ocean of money would dry up. This would mean substantial losses to their balance sheets. Additionally, this would also threaten England's ability to repay the billions of dollars it had borrowed with war bonds. In fact, Morgan was finding it difficult just to sell the bonds that funded his military-industrial complex, as it appeared the Germans might claim victory in a matter of months. To make matters worse, Morgan himself had loaned around $37 billion in today's money that he was now in danger of losing. Something had to be done. Morgan hired a committee that identified the 25 most influential newspapers. He then installed editors at each of the papers and paid them off to run stories that were pro-war. Eventually, he had over 1,000 newspaper editors on his payroll and used his vast advertising purchasing power to strong-arm the smaller papers to trumpet the same pro-war sentiment. The Rockefellers of Standard Oil, who would also profit handsomely from the war, used its own publishing companies to influence the people against Germany and funneled money to reluctant congressmen. Massive parades were held. But with all this campaigning and social engineering, the polling data still showed that 90% of Americans still favored staying out of the war. Enter the false flag that would plunge the world into war, killing over 100,000 Americans to protect the interests of the bankers and the ruling class. Winston Churchill, who knew all too well without American involvement in the war he would soon lose to Germany, began to work with President Wilson and the bankers on the false flag that would force the American people to support the war: the sinking of the Lusitania. The Lusitania, while built as a British passenger ocean liner, had been retrofitted with armor, revolving gun rings on its decks, and was classified by the British Navy as an armored auxiliary cruiser. Its lower passenger compartments had been removed to make room for the war munitions exported by America's industrial military complex. Churchill ordered the Lusitania and all ships to ignore orders from German U-boats to halt and be searched, and instead to engage the German U-boats or even ram them without warning. He also ordered crews not to treat captured U-boat crews as prisoners of war, but to execute them. This left the German Navy with only one option: to sink ships suspected of delivering war munitions on site. The Lusitania, whose previous captain resigned over Churchill's plan to use passengers as human shields, was loaded with weapons and ammunition sold by the J.P. Morgan Company in violation of every neutrality treaty. The German embassy in Washington filed a complaint to the Wilson administration and was ignored. The Germans went so far as to attempt to run ads in American newspapers warning Americans not to board the weapon-carrying ship traveling through a war zone, but the papers controlled by the bankers and by order of the State Department refused to run the ads. Using the media as a weapon against the people is not a new thing. The bankers and the politicians they owned were purposely sending unaware Americans right into a deadly trap. The so-called passenger liner carrying over 6 million rounds of ammunition was directed by the British Navy into an area where a German U-boat had recently fired upon two ships and was known to be active. To ensure the ship would be vulnerable, the destroyer that was supposed to escort the cargo to port was called back without notifying the Lusitania, leaving her a sitting duck in hostile waters. And on May 7, 1915, close to 2,000 passengers, including 195 Americans, were sacrificed to the bankers as the German U-boat, U-20, fired at the hull, setting off a massive explosion when the munitions and the cargo ripped a hole so large in her starboard bow that one of the largest ships ever built sank in less than 18 minutes. The Lusitania was purposely loaded full of explosives and then led defenselessly into hostile waters in the hopes that it would be sunk by the Germans. This was the false flag that propelled America into what would become known as World War I, a war that easily could have ended before claiming the lives of over 100,000 Americans that died so that the military-industrial complex and the banking class could avoid losing money on a profitable war, a war that would later lead to another world war that would claim the lives of millions. All this so bankers could grow fat on the blood of the people that would line up for the slaughter, war after war after war. The details of this false flag have been largely hidden from the public. In fact, as recently as 1993, the official story was that the Lusitania had exploded because of coal dust in the boiler rooms, and that it had not been carrying ammunition or explosives. The real story remained hidden from the public for nearly 100 years, until in 2008 when divers found millions of rounds in the hull of the sunken wreckage. The media had successfully covered up a false flag for nearly a century, a fact that completely obliterates the notion that false flags involve too many people, and that surely someone would talk, and that the truth would get out. People who don't know their history are damned to repeat it. Do we have to wait another century before we get the truth of modern false flags perpetrated by the bankers and the deep state? When will the people stop confirming the ruling class's belief that we are all just cattle to be slaughtered for profit? Slaves that unknowingly prop them up and support their lifestyle of decadence and degeneracy, fighting for table scraps and vying for the coveted position as alpha slave, while the ruling class looks down at us not in pity, but with amusement and disgust. The technocrats are developing new ways to control us and eventually make us obsolete. We are rapidly approaching a future in which the ruling class will have successfully replaced us with lower IQ populations that are easier to control and easier to replace with automation. We must stop them now and expose them for who they are now, because we don't have another century to wait for the truth to come out. It's not just about the deaths on the Lusitania. It's not about the deaths in World War I, which led to all the deaths in World War II. World War II led to the deaths of nearly 500,000 American men. American men that might not have voted for the Immigration Act of 1965. And lest we forget, without World War II, there would have been no baby boom. That decision by those bankers, the Wilson administration and Churchill, to sacrifice the lives of unwitting pawns in their war profiteering game so they could increase their profits. The effects of that evil decision have irreversibly damaged this nation in every measurable way. And look at the British now, arresting people for thought crimes. The fairy tale that we were protecting freedom was always a lie. The truth is, we live in a system that rewards sociopaths, and sociopaths do what's good for them. Nationalism is their enemy. Populism is their enemy, because it gets in the way of their balance sheets.
Yeah, that was Kevin Stack. He's somebody I ran into here lately, and he has a lot of good things to say. Puts it all together pretty well. And that's how we have to remember these people are. They are sociopaths. I mean, think about it. Look around in your world. Do you know anybody that would want to be in politics? No, because they're probably mentally stable people. They have lives, and they have no intention on running other people's lives, controlling other people, getting involved with a broken, corrupt government. It takes a narcissistic sociopath to really get involved in politics at that high level, because you basically give up your life. Look at Trump. And speaking of Trump, You know, I don't know if you've caught up with the news, what's happening with a lot of the children from illegal immigrants coming across the border. But for years now, we've been taking the children and keeping the children. And a lot of these kids, we don't know exactly what happens to them. Right now we have, they call it superstores, but actually they just don't want to say that they're Walmart superstores. There's five of them. One in California, two in Texas, one in Oklahoma, and one somewhere else. There's almost 10,000 kids sleeping in little cages. And how long have they been there? And they haven't done anything wrong. I mean, are we the kind of country that starts locking up children for no reason and keeping them in cages? And when you see the pictures of these places, they're covered up with these, we used to call them shake and bakes. It's what the firemen use when they're out in the forest and there's a forest fire. It looks like aluminum foil. They don't even have nice little blankets. And here's something odd too. When they give you the statistics, they don't give you the statistics of how many girls are there. They only give you the statistics of how many boys are there. I find this a little bit, well, suspicious to say the least, with all the pedophile groups going around and everything else. But here's how the news spun this. It finally did make the news. Now, this is something that Clinton started during his administration. Obama kept it up. And now Trump has walked into this mess. And I'm not exactly for Trump, but there's a lot of things that we have to really start looking at here. One is, a lot of the news media, the fake news media, is just trying to bury him. They spun this whole story so it was about Trump and sidelined the whole story about the fact that we're keeping little kids locked up in these big warehouses. And we don't know exactly where a lot of these kids end up going. And that's the sad and the scary part about all of this. But if you think this thing is just one of many things that are just sort of happening right now. No, this is part of a long-term plan. The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, you know, Cooper's book. If you've never read that, you should read it. I mean, either he was very, very psychic and an amazing prophet, or he was in touch with some insider information and seeing that there is a plan. Matter of fact, there's a guy named Robert Welch. I'm going to play just a few minute clip of him talking in 1958. Now, 1958, that's 60 years ago. Now, I want you to listen to what he's saying, because he's saying exactly what's happening now. And the only way he could know exactly what's going to be happening 60 years from now is if he is privy to the plan. And there is a plan. And it goes back 100-120 years. These people are dead serious about everything they're doing right now. And if something happens in the government and it looks like it's, oh, an accident, or they don't know what they're doing, forget about it. If it happens, it's because they planned it to happen. Now listen to this short speech by Robert Welch.
A part of that plan, of course, is to induce the gradual surrender of American sovereignty, piece by piece and step by step, to various international organizations, of which the United Nations is the outstanding but far from the only example. Now, here are the aims for the United States. One, greatly expanded government spending for every conceivable means of getting rid of ever larger sums of American money as wastefully as possible. Two, higher and then much higher taxes. Three, an increasingly unbalanced budget despite the higher taxes. Four, wild inflation of our currency. Five, government controls of prices, wages, and materials supposedly to combat inflation. Six, greatly increased socialistic controls over every operation of our economy and every activity of our daily lives. This is to be accompanied naturally and automatically by a correspondingly huge increase in the size of our bureaucracy and in both the cost and reach of our domestic government. Seven, far more centralization of power in Washington, and the practical elimination of our state lines. There is a many-faceted drive at work to have our state lines eventually mean no more within the nation than our county lines do now within the states. 8, the steady advance of federal aid to and control over our educational system, leading to complete federalization of our public education. 9, a constant hammering into the American consciousness of the horror of modern warfare, the beauties and the absolute necessity of peace, peace always on communist terms, of course. And 10, the consequent willingness of the American people to allow the steps of appeasement by our government, which amount to a piecemeal surrender of the rest of the free world and of the United States itself. So brush the insider's dust out of your eyes, my friends, and the communist soap suds out of your brain, and ask yourselves in all honesty, what on earth is wrong with the United States simply minding its own business? Are with having its foreign policy function primarily for the safety and benefit of the American people. Which is exactly what we had done for the first 140 years of our existence as a nation, to the incredible advantage of ourselves and everybody else. Everybody, that is, except a numerically small clique of power-lusting conspirators who had somehow inflicted themselves on a gullible world. While we turn to a very brief summarization of what we hope the John Birch Society will help and even sometimes lead the American people to accomplish during the next 15 years. 1, our first and most important specific undertaking should be to restore the complete independence of the United States. This includes our resolution to get us out of the United Nations and get the United Nations out of the United States. Two, we must once again make our money freely redeemable in gold at some realistic price. And we must take all practicable legislative steps to prevent a recurrence of the enormous thievery and other subversive crimes that have been perpetrated on the American people through a contrived inflation by every president from Franklin Roosevelt through Richard Nixon. 3, we should reduce the number of government bureaus, of government civilian employees, and the whole quantity of government by at least 50%. And we should achieve at least this much reduction in proper fashion through gradually convincing a majority of the American people of the wisdom of such a course. 4, we should withdraw all American troops from every spot on earth that is not American soil, except when and where such troops may be required as decided by Congress to protect American lives and property from criminal vandalism. 5. We should get government out of the areas and functions and activities where government does not belong. Again, all steps to this end should be taken gradually, but nevertheless just as rapidly as enough of the American people can be persuaded to support such progress. Any such achievement will require a truly massive educational force, but that's exactly what we hope to build during the next 15 years. We could go ahead for at least 100 numbered items, But the John Birch Society will undoubtedly be working on more than that many specific projects, which will be laid out in its bulletins before another 180 months will have rolled around. And all of them will fit into, all of these projects will fit into the general pattern indicated by the five major objectives listed above. So let's really wind up this marathon monologue with one final thought. None of us can guarantee anything about what the future will bring. Your speaker knows what a job we have before us to rid our country of the scourge of communism within the next few years, and then to go ahead on our constructive program so well that 15 years from now, we shall already be entering an era of far less government, of a much sounder sense of responsibility, and, with God's help, of a better world. But I sincerely believe that it can be done, and this much I know. If every man and woman in this audience should leave here tonight feeling in his or her own mind and heart that it can and must be done, then it surely will be. And so, all of you patriots of good character, good conscience, and noble ideals, whom we can reach with the filmed version of this speech in 1,000 other audiences, it is with a great deal of confidence and energizing will to win that we invite you to join us in our epic undertaking. While to all of you great, wonderful friends in this present audience, I certainly extend my very deep thanks indeed for so much patience and attention. Thank you and good night.
So I hear people saying that I can't believe our government would do such a thing. Well, our government probably wouldn't do such a thing, but many people don't realize that even the Constitution of the United States, if you read it real closely, there's a couple of words that have been changed, and it changes everything. It's not our Constitution anymore. This is not our government. There's only a couple of presidents that have really stood up against them. Lincoln was one. Andrew Jackson was another. Kennedy was another. And look what happened to him. And we just let this happen on TV, even with Kennedy. I mean, what's it going to take? And then you start thinking about these kids in these Walmart superstores. I mean, what's it going to take for people to get upset enough to actually do something to stop this? I mean, if thousands of kids sleeping in cages in our country isn't enough to get people to go out and start picketing Walmart, I mean, nobody should be shopping there. But no one says a thing. I mean, why? Because they buy their toilet paper there? I mean, that's not really a good reason. But people are apathetic. And I think it's part of the being dumbed down. If you've ever read the book, Deliberately Dumbed Down America, you will see exactly what's happening here, because this has been an orchestrated, ongoing attempt to dumb generation after generation down. And if you don't believe this is true, look around. Go out to any place where there's a lot of young people. Now, this isn't to say that all young people are dumbed down and all millennials are dumbed down and all young adults. There's a few of us that have escaped this somehow, some way. But this comes with responsibility. And this is one reason why I have this radio show, is to be able to talk to people, to help wake people up. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, I think 2014, I put out a front page magazine on the Lotus Guide about chemtrails. And believe me, when I did that, lots of people just really got on my case. What are you talking about? Those are contrails. But little by little, they started listening. And now everybody knows, yeah, okay, the government is spraying us with heavy metals and toxins and all kinds of biological agents. I mean, what's that about? Okay, that hasn't got people upset enough to do anything. Now they're coming out with the 5G wireless network, and nobody seems to be doing anything. I mean, I live out in the middle of a forest, away from all the cell towers. I had the smart meter taken off my home. I turned the Wi-Fi off at night. there are ways you can sort of limit your exposure to all of this, but you've got to take action. You can't just sit back and listen to a radio show like this of somebody talking and telling you information and not really processing it and getting out and doing something about it. This is why it's called spiritual activist, because one without the other is nothing. It doesn't mean a thing if you don't do something. And this is what I can do. I can sit here and I can talk and I can put this information out there. It's in a massive ocean of information. I don't know if you go on YouTube and listen. There's a lot of people saying a lot of really great things, and they're doing actually a pretty good job. I can't put that much time into this. I just have to sit here and tell you what's on my mind and hope that you read my magazine. Go to my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/lotusguide. You can always go to our magazine, which is lotusguide.com. You can read it online. I have a column there called Rahasia Uncensored. And in the last issue, I wrote about how important it is to be a well-informed citizenry. So you know what? I'm going to read a little bit about this from the last article I wrote. So I think it's important to realize, especially I put in a quote here from Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, he once said, "You may be 38 years old, as I happen to be, and one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls you and stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause, and you refuse to do it because you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You refuse to do it because you might lose your job, or you're afraid that you'll be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity, or you're afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot you, or set a bomb in your house. So you refuse to take a stand. Well, you may go on and live until you're 90, but you're just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90, and the cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit." And I think that's something that I really take to heart, you know, because there's so much going on in the world, and I'm just passing through, you're just passing through. We're just all part of this consciousness going through this life. Here's a little bit more from the article. "There are many questions in life that we may never answer, questions such as, who am I? And what happens when I die? But the one question we can answer to some extent is, why am I here? For me, the answer is becoming more and more simple the older I get. I want to make the world around me a better place and to pass the information on that I find credible, no matter what the cost. So here are a few things to think about that are going on and have been going on that I find credible. The first thing to consider is the fact that nothing happens by accident. There has been and is a plan, and here are a few of the examples. The other day, I met a young girl about 19 who had a copy of Behold a Pale Horse written by William Cooper. She was amazed that a book that was published in 1991 with detailed information that went back decades could be so accurate in predicting the world we live in today. I asked her to think of this. Either William Cooper was a psychic extraordinaire, or he was privy to top secret information that was part of a plan. And I do mean a plan here, too. Cooper was a United States Naval Intelligence briefing team member and had access to top secret government files in the 1940s. If you ever have a chance to read this book, which I highly suggest, you will see that everything is working according to a plan. A little research into what's on the back of our dollar bill should convince almost anyone that this plan has been in effect for many, many years. But here's where it gets a little strange. Basically, the plan isn't working. If you look around at our world, and you will see that they are in the midst of something that looks very much like extreme chaos. As an example, let's look at a few things that are going on in our world today, and please stay with me here because believe it or not, there's a positive twist to everything that I'm pointing out. Now, again, this is from an article that I wrote in the Lotus Guide, but these are important points. One, we officially live in an oligarchy. According to the studies that have been done in five top universities in the United States, what this simply means is that if you have a lot of money, you can even become president. I think that's pretty obvious right now. Here's another one. We have mountains of nuclear waste piling up by the day, and at the same time have viable alternative energy systems that could eventually change everything, but that are being suppressed by the fossil fuel corporations. And again, this is stuff we know. We just let it go on. Here's another one. Although I can see glimmers of hope, our broadcast and our print news outlets are nothing more than entertainment for the explicit purpose of creating great profits, maintaining their ratings, and keeping their corporate masters satisfied. This is not journalism. In fact, it's not even moral. And here's another one. At the same time that we have 20,000 scientists sounding the alarm over climate change, we have world governments turning a blind eye to the fact that something is going on. And here's some more. While the science is clear that fluoride is a toxic substance, there are still several countries, ours included, that dump millions of gallons of this toxic substance into the public water system. I mean, all of these things that I'm reading right now, any one of them should make everybody get up in arms, but it doesn't. Here's another one. Now that many people are starting to look up and see our skies that are filled with toxic chemicals such as aluminum oxide, strontium, barium, the government has finally admitted to several geoengineering programs that combat the environmental situation that it says doesn't exist, which is, I find it a little strange. And here's another one. The United States has a military that's just as large as the 10 largest militaries combined on our planet, and we are still spending billions of dollars on the military-industrial complex while millions live in poverty and are homeless worldwide, and our soldiers are risking their lives and are not being taken care of while on the battlefield or here at home. If soldiers are willing to risk their lives to protect us, we need to do our part and make sure they are fighting for the right reasons and being taken care of when they return home. But they're not being taken care of. I'll tell you one thing, my dad, he was a veteran, and the Veterans Administration actually killed him. They gave him the wrong medication, and it was just 10 days later he died, and come to find out they made a mistake giving him the wrong medication. Here's another one. We still have well-meaning parents and doctors who simply will not look at the evidence regarding vaccinations, even when the people such as William Thompson of the CDC, lead researcher, became a whistleblower trying to warn people of the dangers. We will never know if vaccinations are safe or dangerous if we don't take the time to look at what's really going on. And we have the oceans are heating up and rising and melting the Arctic and Antarctic ice. I mean, this list just goes on and on and on and on. And to give you an idea of what's happening on social media, I mean, I think my next article in the Lotus Guide is going to be on social media and the neurological dangers to this. I mean, there's so much going on that people just don't want to hear about because they're addicted to social media. Just for example, social media has become so crazy. I put a post on my Facebook account, which is Rahasia Uncensored, and the post was about gun control. Should we have gun control or not? And I was trying to start a dialogue, and I was accused of being a homophobic person because of the thing that happened in Florida. You know, how could you possibly say people should have guns? You know, they're killing gay people. Accusing me of all kinds of vile things. Then they said that I was a racist because obviously Obama wants to take away the guns and I don't want them. And I never even said not to take away the guns or to take away the guns. These are trolls. These are people on the internet, and I seek them out. I search them out, and this is what they're doing. There was five or six of them, I finally took the post down because my normal people was going, what is going on here? Why are people getting so off the track? But that's the whole point, is to get off the track. And this is life. This is the life that we live in. And I think we need to really be careful of everything that's going on and pay attention, because the one thing I can tell you, they are deathly afraid of a well-informed citizenry. So if anything that I've said here makes any sense, you're welcome to email me at rahasia@usa.com, or you can mail me at my magazine at info@lotusguide.com. And I'll be happy to answer your questions, and I can give you some links and things to research on. And I do review books, so I go through a lot of books, so I can steer you in the right direction, because you have to do the research. Don't just sit here and listen to me and believe me or don't believe it. That doesn't do any good. It doesn't trigger any neurological responses that's going to help you realize what's going on in the world. So I think I'm just going to call it night for right now. I'm getting ready to go away for the weekend up to Lake Almanor to a nice little lake house and sit back for 4 days and unplug completely. I think we have to do that occasionally. So I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. And once again, visit my website at www.lotusguide.com. You can watch all of my interviews on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/lotusguide. And feel free to contact me, and I will get back to you. So until then, have a safe journey. Thank you.